Hey, what's up? It's going to be me and K-Fitz today, talking a little Dallas Stars hockey, a little bit of a couple of games of Chicago, last night's game against Montreal. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and grab some food while you're at it.
Yeah, it didn't take me very long at all.
No, it didn't. I like it.
So how have we been doing, other than the Stars losing last night?
Oh, it's been a time. Like I messaged you a few days ago, and there's some big changes going on for me, and getting used to them's been fun, and you know, meeting the walls and things like that has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, the new wheels, huh?
Yeah. I've met the birdcage probably a good 4 times already. it's wild because, like, where have these been my entire life, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there's been that, and then there's been lots of hockey, so, you know, not doing too bad.
Yeah, and you know, the Stars haven't done too bad on this homestand. You know, they beat Chicago twice, really beat them the last time, 8-1. Hadn't seen the Stars do something like that in quite a while, which was nice. But then we go last night against Montreal, and it just seems like we really didn't give any effort until the final 6 or 7 minutes, and we had to go 6-on-5 just to get close to possibly even tying it.
Yeah, that whole wait till the last 5 minute thing that they love to do sometimes, that really needs to quit.
Well, you know, it's like when they came back and won that game in what, less than 15 seconds? I mean, that's great to have a record and stuff like that, but man, doesn't mean we want that every night.
Right. And you know, what did they do? They scored in like 11 seconds last night. The first 11 seconds, some crap.
Yeah, the first 11. Yeah, Ben's first goal was within the first 11 seconds.
And all it did was give you false hope.
Yeah, unfortunately. However, you did call it. You did say that it would be a 4-3 Montreal victory.
I don't know how I knew that. And it still bothers me right now. How? Because, I mean, sometimes, well, it's sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. But it's been sort of, what's the word? The effort's been kind of up and down, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Because, like you said, the 2 Chicago games, one was entertaining. The other one was, whoa, where'd that come from? And then you get Montreal, which is like, okay. And, you know, they're a Dallas team. And you put that into consideration, and it's just like, okay, so they're going to play up or down to whoever. I mean, Montreal is a good team, but we should have had that one.
We should have. Especially coming out and scoring within the first 11 seconds. That should have given y'all the Stars a boost.
It should have, yeah. I mean, what did they say the record between the two of them was? I don't remember the exact number, but I know they said that the Stars had won a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, what the heck happened?
Well, I guess Montreal happened.
Yeah, and Montreal is going to happen. It's a good team. They got Cole Caulfield, and I'm not going to name everybody on that team that's loaded, but it's a good team, sneaky good. But, you know, it just, yeah. 8-1 to that.
And I'll tell you what, tomorrow night they can't pull what they pulled against Montreal against the Avalanche.
Oh, gosh. That, yeah, those two teams, hang on, is it Dallas, Colorado, and Vegas still in the top? Who is
that? I don't know, I thought it was, yeah, I think so.
Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg.
In ours, uh-huh.
Okay, so Colorado has 51 points. We have 48. Winnipeg bypassed us. They now have 50.
Yeah.
I'm going, huh?
Yeah, and the last time we played the Avs, which was back on November 18th, we lost 6-3.
Yeah, there's that. So you couple the... Oh. Here's one for you, too. Sixth in the Atlantic, Montreal. Sixth in the Atlantic, 16-16-5. And the Stars just lost to them.
Well, you know, you can't really throw too much shade. I mean, like I've always said, any given team on any given night can win. I just didn't like the effort from the Stars last night. And, yeah, we had a couple, you know, power plays go against us, and the bad part about it was, you know, we killed the 4-minute Jamie Benn power play just to give up another power play by Pavelski, and then they score within the first 30-40 seconds into that power play.
It's just yikes, really. I mean, you did all that against a sixth ranked team. That just goes to show me, like, they're playing down to their competition, just like I thought.
Yeah.
And I mean, okay, so Montreal being where they are, they might have had something to prove, and you know, you could say that's quite the little feather in their cap beating the Stars. Okay, cool. But why didn't the Stars expect that from them?
They should have.
I mean, they probably did. Let's be real. I don't know what goes on in that locker room. But you score 11 seconds into the game and you think, well, all right, they're just going to come out firing. And from what I remember from you messaging me, it was like 2-1 in minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if it was within minutes. I might have had some time in between there, but it didn't take them long to get up 2-1 on us.
I'm like, well, I mean, okay. If it's within 5 minutes, you know, it's still pretty fast because, well, let's be real, football and hockey are not the same, and 5 minutes in football is forever.
Right.
Whereas hockey just, you know, it can change in 10 seconds. Shoot. So, but, I mean, that was pretty quick, whether it was 5 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever. 1-0 turned into 1-1, turned into 2-1.
Bingo. Yeah, and it was, I mean, and I think even my comments were, well, there goes that lead. Oh, here we go. It's 2-1.
Yeah. And it was within minutes of each other. Let me go look. Now I'm curious. Okay, nope, that wasn't it. You had messaged me at 7:17, 1-1. Okay.
Uh-huh.
7:29, which is 12 minutes later ish, 2-1.
Yeah.
And that's real time minutes. That's not game time minutes. So, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah. And you mopped the floor with Chicago 8-1. And then Montreal comes in and says, yeah, no, not today. And Colorado tomorrow? The freaking Avalanche.
That game scares me.
You said they beat us 6-3 last time we played them?
Yes.
Based on that score alone, I don't like that history. Based on that score alone, man, I'm very tempted to watch that game with my pillow over my eyes.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's definitely going to. So real quick, just to give you game time for those goals, because I'm looking at it right here.
Okay.
Jay Benn scored within 11 seconds of the first period. Suzuki scored at 4:14, which is where we got the 1-1 tie. And then they scored again at 9:46.
Okay.
So basically, about 5 minutes, roughly.
That's game time, though.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the sad part about this loss. The Stars actually had 33 shots on goal versus 18 by Montreal.
18 shots by Montreal, and they scored on 4 of them.
Yes.
That means they didn't have to try very hard. That's what that means to me. And now the Stars have released photos of Ottinger back in practice. We've seen poor Matt Murray up and down the last couple of days, so I don't know what's going on with him. Maybe he's back down again. I really don't know. But I just saw Ottinger back in practice. And I kind of had a feeling, you know, you're right, things like that happen any given day. But you got to keep people rested if you want them to be tip-top shape as well.
Yeah, you do.
And since Ottinger went down, man, Scott Wedgwood has shouldered the load.
He has. He's done really well. I think he's like 7-1-1 or now 7-1-2 on this homestand right now.
7-1-2?
I'm not mistaken. Or on the season or something of that nature. Yeah, I believe so.
Mr. Wedgwood, if you should happen to hear this, I'm sorry I ever badmouthed you. Wow. Well, I mean, okay, so with Ottinger back in practice and wearing the helmet and all that, looking good, maybe Wedgwood will have a break.
A well-deserved break.
Yeah, I was just about to say the poor guy might have needed it too. I feel for him, especially against Montreal. Yike!
Because yeah, I think that's his home record this season. I'm trying to look it up, but I think that's his home record this season is 7-1-2 right now.
Dang, that sounds to me like you want to play him at home. I would. Yeah, I'd bet on him. I really would. I'd put my money on him. And I'm not a betting man at all. And I definitely ain't got the money. But I'd put some money on him. Sure would. He's impressive, man. 7-1-2. That which equates to 7-3, pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's not bad. 70% winning percentage. Man. I wish they had put Matt Murray in, though. Somebody caught my eye with the feedback on the game last night. They said Wedgwood did look tired and that he looks like he needs a break.
Yeah, he did look really tired last night. Like, you could see it whenever they'd pan in on him. You could kind of see it in his face. I mean, he was giving his best effort, but...
It's one of those situations where I wish the team would have just helped him out a little bit more.
Just a little bit.
4-3, though.
So on the season right now, Wedgwood is 11-3-2.
Oh, 11-5.
And Ottinger is 11-7-2. So pretty even there.
Holy moly. I'm sorry, what? 11? What? Whoa. I just geeked out a little bit over my goalies. Wow.
And Ottinger's played in 21 games before the injury, and Wedgwood has played in 16. Which, if I'm not mistaken, I think up to the injury, Ottinger had only played in four games, I think, at that point.
Does that mean, wait, who has the better winning percentage in that time then? It sounds like Wedgwood might be giving Jake a run for his money, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can you ask of that young man or old man? I don't know how old he is, but he's younger than me, so. But, dang.
And here's another surprising statistic. We've only had one shootout this season so far.
One.
Take yourselves back to last season at this point. I think we'd had at least three or four.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like we were going towards that 15 overtime trend at this point, from what I remember.
Yeah,
it was a pessimist. So
we had a couple of them games that were going to some crazy overtime periods. And we had a couple games, I think, went back-to-back shootouts last season.
Mm-hmm. Well, the team's doing something right. I mean, you can't really help injuries. All you can do is keep yourself in the best possible shape.
But well, injuries... I think one of the big differences between last year and this season is, you know, we've got Matt Duchene. Yeah. And, you know, he kind of... You know, last I checked, he's one of the top goal scorers in overtime period. You know, game winning goal scorers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we discussed that coming into this season that he was going to be a factor in if we were to go into overtime, and he sure has. You know, and that's kind of a testament to our overtime. I mean, I think last season we weren't as good in the 3-on-3 overtime as we've been in the past. You know, in the past, when the first three, when they first introduced the 3-on-3, if I'm not mistaken, I believe, you know, Dallas was one of the more dominant teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like over the last couple of seasons, we've lost that dominance. And adding Matt Duchene has kind of brought that dominance back to Dallas.
It's because he's not scared. That's what
No, he certainly is not. And speaking of not scared, if you saw Wyatt Johnson, who finally got out of his slump and got a goal last night, his goal that he got in that third period was it was phenomenal.
Makes me smile hearing that. I don't know if you could tell or not.
I mean... And I hope that gets him out of his slump, and we need him out of his slump, especially coming up to this Colorado game.
I would give him, I mean, I know he's going to stay probably third line minutes, but I'd put him out probably one of the first few minutes of the game that I could. I mean, you already got him waking up a little bit. Wake him up some more. Give him that ice.
I agree.
I'm all for it, dude. Like, all right, he's going to score a goal. What's he going to do tomorrow? What's he going to do Saturday, whatever day? You know what I mean?
Right.
You give the person that's starting to wake up a little more ice time, God knows what they're going to return to you. Man. That would be absolutely amazing if he stepped up against the Avalanche. It really would.
Right now, I'm just looking at the last time we played the Avalanche. Looks like, yeah, I mean, we were off to a great start in that game. We were up 3-0, 2 minutes and 12 seconds into the second period. And then I think, and then we gave up 6 straight goals.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, though, against the Avalanche, as you can see, if we're up 3-0, that means they had the foot on the gas.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and usually when they give up back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back to whatever goals, that's because they stop playing.
Well, it's almost like the Stars didn't even show up in the third period. I mean, let me go over some shots on goal here. So, in the first period, they were both even, 7-7. Stars got 2 goals out of those 7 shots. The second period, once again, pretty even. Colorado had 16, Dallas had 15 shots on goal. The only difference is Dallas scored once off of them off of our 15 shots on goal, whereas in Colorado scored twice. This is where the statistics get skewed. In the third period, Colorado really had the gas going on this one. And I don't know what happened, but Dallas just did not have the steam for it. 15 shots on goal for Colorado, 6 for Dallas.
That tells me, just by hearing 6, they didn't have the puck that often.
No.
I mean, any random fan can get that out of 6 shots. Oh, they didn't have the puck. And, you know, you're going to have to hem Colorado into their own zone, man. And, you know, you got to make them scramble because their goalie tandem is good, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, power play, we were even. Both teams, Dallas and Colorado, scored on 1 of 4. Opportunities. Both teams had 8 penalty minutes in that game. Here's one thing that kind of really... So, Dallas did great in takeaways in that game. We had 8 takeaways versus 1 takeaway for Colorado. But here is where we lose it. We had 9 giveaways versus 6 to Colorado.
That's interesting. That could come down to passing right there.
Oh, yeah, and puck control.
Yeah, easily. You can't make a cutesy-ootsy little pass when McCarr's on the ice. Sorry. I was trying to say Kel McCarr in one word, and it came out Mikhail. you can't do that. Like, he's good. That whole Colorado Avalanche team is good. You know, they're not Stanley Cup champs because they're pretty.
No.
Champs because they earned it. So, they're going to have to play a whole different game. And they're going to have to the one goal in 11 seconds is great, but you got to hit them where it counts and hit them hard, hit them fast.
Well, I don't think Colorado's a team that's going to be susceptible to something like that. That's why you cannot wait till the third period to start playing against this team.
Yeah.
Colorado's a team where when you get an opportunity, you've got to, you know, keep it going and keep the foot on the throttle.
Yes, I agree. That 3-0 lead that they lost in that very first game could have been a whole lot more if they just tried a little harder.
Yeah.
I mean, And line changes and stuff like that factor too, because I believe the home team in the matchup gets the last line change. So, you know, they can pretty much put in whoever they want, whenever they want, really. And double shift people. And, you know, if I remember correctly, during that 6-3 game, that's exactly what they did. They outchanged the Stars.
Oh, yeah. I remember there were many times where, if I'm not mistaken, the announcers even made comments on, you know, how tired the Stars looked out there on the ice, especially in the third period.
Whereas Colorado was short shifting people and doing a lot more shifts for them just to keep them fresh.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Colorado gets the advantage right there. They just outchange you. And do you juggle the lineup against Colorado? I don't think so.
No, I don't think you should. Not against Colorado. I mean, if you're going to juggle the lineup just to try it, you need to do that against a team that's not as aggressive as Colorado.
Dude, they've got threats everywhere, too.
Yes.
I mean, I'm scared of the goalie tandem, for crying out loud. I'd park a bus in front of either one of them. And that's just because, I mean, the names don't matter. When you're a Stanley Cup champ, you could put in somebody off the street. I'd still be concerned. Just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're a top dog. So, and I'm talking about, I know that it was Vegas that was the most recent Cup champ. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about just, like, the reputation based on what they've done. They're a Vegas caliber team. Just because they've won more recently than anybody. Than Dallas. Screw that. They've won more recently than Dallas.
Yeah.
So, you know, just off of reputation, knowing what Vegas, Colorado, and pretty much anybody else besides us has done in the last few years, you know, I'm afraid of anybody. I really am. And Colorado is not much different. I mean, they're always going to give us a run for our money. And it seems like they do outchange us. I don't know how. I don't know why. And I don't know how you stop it. What do you think? How do you beat Colorado tomorrow?
Oh. The only way you're going to beat Colorado is, number one, getting ahead of them fast, and number two, staying ahead of them and keeping the foot on the throttle. You cannot allow a period, be it the second period or even the third period, to be a 15 shot versus 6 shot period for you. That cannot happen. I mean, the only way you win a period like that is if you're scored on 2 of those 6 shots.
That's a solid point.
But if you're not scoring on those 6 opportunities that you had on those 6 shots, you know, you're allowing the other team to basically live in your offensive zone, and that's where it looks like that had happened.
It did. And, you know, they were, like I said, they were able to roll out fresh players whenever they wanted to. That was a tongue twister for no reason. It just, and when you have the puck, you can do that, honestly.
You know?
You can put in whoever you want if you have the puck and you have somebody hemmed into their own zone. You can do whatever you want, especially when they're not willing to go get that puck from you. You know, that's an important thing, too. What are you doing to get the puck away from them? Are you doing anything? Are you dumping and chasing? Or are you actually going to get the puck and take it on? I mean, that's what I feel like is the issue between Dallas and Vegas, too. You know, there's a little bit of a intimidation factor because of who's on the ice, because of what they've done recently. And, you know, Dallas just doesn't know what to do. Like, they'll play their style and they'll give up on it if it doesn't work within a few minutes.
Now, here's an interesting thing about that game against Colorado. This last game was that was the first game of the season the Stars had given up three or more goals.
And Colorado was the one that killed that trend, huh?
Yep. And Ottinger was in net on that game, which I think that was one of those nights where after the game I told you something just seemed off with Jake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, lo and behold, you seem to be right as he was pulled and missed a significant period of time recently.
And I hope they give him an opportunity to fully recuperate and not rush him back into the lineup. Granted, I understand that the Wedgwood needs a break. Well, throw Matt Murray in there for a game, you know? Honestly and truly, if you were going to throw Matt Murray in, I would say throw him in against the Colorado Avalanche right now. Because, look, let's just be as honest as we can be. Wedgwood is tired. And you know what? Maybe having a fresh young kid in there, maybe he pulls off a miracle.
That made me laugh because it reminds me of Ottinger.
Yeah.
That's how Otter got started.
You know, trial by fire. You know, put him in there against, you know, the Avalanche. Let's see how the kid answers.
Could you imagine? Okay, since you're an athlete or former athlete, whatever you want to call it, could you imagine being a young guy, big bright lights, big stage, big game, Colorado top team in the West? You know, the better matchup might be Vegas, of course, but Colorado's right up there with Dallas. And could you imagine being that guy that gets the nod to start that game?
Well, yeah, be any athlete, and I don't care what your level is. When it comes down to big games like that, and it is against a team like the Avalanche, I don't care if you're a rookie or if you're a, you know, 10, 12, 15, 20-year veteran, You're going to be nervous. So, case in point, one of my favorite things watching Troy Aikman when he talks about the first Super Bowl that they won in that era, and you know they finally made it back to the Super Bowl, and he remembered he was walking around and there was Landry. The quarterback from the 70s for the Dallas Cowboys.
Starbuck? Starbuck?
Starbuck, yes. So Starbuck is walking around, and Troy walks up to Starbuck, and, he's having a conversation with him, and, he asked Troy, "Are you nervous?" And Troy was like, "Yeah, I'm nervous." And he goes, "Yeah, me too." And Troy was like sitting there thinking to himself, here he is. This guy has played in the Super Bowl, has won Super Bowls, already a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's not even playing in this game, and he's not, and he has no skin in the game other than, that's his former team, and of course he's a fan. And if he's nervous, you're darn right, I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show you that, once you're an athlete and you get these big games, and it's hard for people who've never played the sport. It's easy for a fan to get into it, but when you've actually played that sport, or when you've actually played a sport, and you know what those emotions are like, and you know what it's like to be out there, and you know how, the nerves really, like, when I'm watching my teams, my nerves will get so, if it's a big game, and it's a game that my team needs to win, my nerves will be, you can ask my wife. I mean, I'm on pins and needles. I'm on edge. And, I've been around fans and I've been around super fans. And yes, they get fanatical about it, but it's not the same feeling. It's not that same butterflies in your stomach, feel like you're going to be sick, ready for the game to start, but so ready for the game to be over and hope that you've done what you can do to win that game feeling. And yeah, most definitely. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care if it's Ottinger, I don't care if it's Wedgwood or if it's Murray, going against Colorado or going against the Golden Knights or going against, you know, a top team, you know, be it from our division or the other, you know, even against like Boston. The nerves are there. They're going to be there. So, you know what? Yeah, I would honest and truly, I would love to see them give the young kid a chance against, you know, Colorado. You know, what's the worst that can happen? It, you know, you gave up 6 goals in the last one with Ottinger, your top guy. You know, give him a chance. If it looks like he gets into some deep water, you've always got the opportunity of pulling him.
See, here's the thing about that, too. Like, when they did the same thing with Ottinger because Bishop and Hedobin were hurt, you know, what if Murray comes in, steals the show? Imagine the confidence boost against a team like Colorado.
Exactly.
You agree?
Yeah.
Can you imagine beating them? It's a hugely hypothetical situation, but what if 4-1 was the score and you backstop that win 4-1? Can you imagine?
How many times have you seen that, though, where it's a young kid that comes in, first time going against blah, 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 and stonewalls them?
Oh, my gosh. I've seen it a lot.
Because, honestly, really, a young guy like that is going to be more on game. He's going to be more in tune, more paying attention to where that puck is and what's going on. And, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from, you know, Wedgwood and Ottinger, but, you know, when you're tired and when you're injury prone and you're a veteran like those two are, I mean, every one of us has those games where it's just like, you know, the mind wants to, but the body's just not willing.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects everything. It affects your timing. It affects, you know, how fast you are, you know, finding the puck and keeping an eye on the puck and being able to keep the puck out of your net. So, you know, you throw a young kid in there who's going to be excited, you know. You know, this is an opportunity for him, and he's wanting to prove himself.
Mm-hmm. More than that, you know, you put a guy on notice, like a Scott Wedgwood, you know, and then you shake up everybody. Oh, shoot, here comes this young man. 4-1 win, 2-0 win, whatever.
You know? You want me to be honest, I don't think it would be Wedgwood that would be on notice this season. I think it would be more Ottinger that's on notice this season. I'm just being honest.
All with Matt Murray possibly coming in or winning?
Yeah.
Dude, I would pay to see that.
And I don't want to take nothing away from Otter. I mean, he's a phenomenal goalie, and I think he's got a bright future, and I think he's going to be our goalie for a while. Of course, you know, this is all speculation. We're just talking as fans. You know, if Matt Murray came out and had a stellar one game, they're not going to say, oh, well, Jake, you're on the chopping block. But something like that might get Jake's blood going and be like, hey, okay, look at this. If this young kid can do it, shoot, I gotta prove myself. And it can trickle to Wedgwood. So, you know, let's just say, for the sake of saying, of course, I'm pretty sure Ottinger's not going to be back to play against Colorado tomorrow night. So let's just say, for the sake of speaking, you put Wedgwood in tomorrow night against Colorado. I'm sorry, you put Murray in against Colorado. Gives Wedgwood a nice break. Then our next game is against Nashville. So if Murray does excellent against Colorado, why not put him in there again against Nashville? That way you give Wedgwood 2 nights off. Then possibly Ottinger's ready to come back for the Minnesota game on the 8th.
I'm down for it.
Now you've got your two top goal minders, one coming off of injury, so he's going to be well rested. Wedgwood, who's going to have 2 nights to rest. So you've got 2 well rested goaltenders for this 2-game series we're fixing to go in with Minnesota. And Minnesota is not a team that you want to take lightly. I don't care what their record is right now. Just because they're 16-4 right now does not mean they're not a threat. So
that sounds familiar.
And we're playing them back to back. We're playing them January 8th and January 10th. So, or I'm sorry, 10th and 12th. These dates on here are kind of goofy.
That sounds familiar. 16-5.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly
8th and 10th. So we're playing them within 2 nights. First, we're playing them in Minnesota on the 8th, and then we play against them in Dallas at home on the 10th. And what a homecoming would that be? Okay, let's just say Wedgewood plays against Minnesota in Minnesota. Then January 10th, Ottinger is ready to come back, and that's his homecoming right there.
True. That's very true.
This is all what-if scenario, but, give Matt Murray, you've got this young kid, why not use him?
I mean, look, Montreal was proof. You know, whoever replaces Ottinger because Ottinger's hurt is going to get tired.
Yeah.
And, the offense and defense can't do everything themselves. And if Ottinger's floating around, if Wedgewood's floating around like an overinflated beach ball, if he's, what's the word they use in wrestling?
If he's being tired. If he's blown up.
Yeah. If you got him feeling like he's just done, he can only do what he can do. It's time to give the young man a break.
And give the other young man a chance.
Yes. I mean, I'm all for it. Look, the Cowboys did the same thing not long ago with Romo and Prescott, and look what happened. When Romo was on his way out, Prescott rose up. They didn't want to change him. It ended the way it ended. Now, Ottinger's coming back from injury. We don't know his prognosis. They keep that, tight-lipped and close to the vest, and good, because we don't need to know. But the other side of that coin is we don't know. And Wedgewood's going to be exhausted. And, it's a gamble to put Matt Murray in against Colorado. And you got two different what-ifs. What if they lose? Well, what if they win?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I think if you leave Wedgewood in there, I think we lose. I think Wedgewood right now is at the point where Ottinger was when we played Colorado the last time. Ottinger was sore, injured, tired. Something was going on. It was evident. Like I said, I can remember vaguely having a discussion with you about, something's off about Ottinger. He's just not playing, the way he's played. And so you have an opportunity to give Wedgewood a much needed and deserved rest. He's done more than you could have asked him to do up to this point, honest and truly. If you look at his record, he has done phenomenal. He's done more than you could have expected. Honest and truly, when Andre went out, I'm sorry. If you're an actual fan of the team and you've been following the team and you know Wedgewood's past, you had a groan to you. You just had this, hopefully we can come out of this 50-50. And he's done better. And he's done way better than I expected him he was going to do. So he's earned a break. I don't think you just keep pushing him and pushing him and pushing him until Ottinger is able to come back, because Then say Ottinger comes back and re-injures himself. Well, now you've got a tired Wedgewood.
Yep.
What good is that going to do? And I'm not saying that that would happen, but it's happened before.
It happened last season when Wedgewood was out.
Right. So, I don't understand why. I honestly, truly, I would have thought we would have seen Murray, by now. I would have thought we'd have seen him last night. If you were going to put him in, Montreal was definitely a team you could have put him in against. If you were worried about him going against, you know, top-tier teams or elite teams or something of that nature. So, man, kind of put yourself into a – you've painted yourself into kind of a corner at this point where mm-hmm. you're going to play this young man. You're going to have to play him, you know, pretty soon. You know, Wedgwood can't keep this up.
So he's already cracking.
Exactly. So it's either do you want a chance hurting Wedgwood, exhausting him, or do you want to just go ahead and throw the young man that you're paying money to in there and let him show what he's got?
I don't know. But, you know, the whole – what did you say it was, 18 shots for Montreal yesterday?
For Montreal, the Montreal game. A little music for you. Yeah, 18 total shots versus 33.
4 goals on 18 shots. That tells me right there that he's tired.
Yeah.
18 shots. Your team stopped Montreal long enough to just allow 18 shots. And Mr. Wedgwood allowed 4 goals. Now, either defense might have been a little bit off. They sometimes are. Maybe them and Wedgwood weren't aligning, as, you know, they say the stars align and whatever the saying is. I don't know. But to me, 4 goals on 18 shots is like an oh dear, you know?
And here's something you got to think about. Montreal had a 4-minute major against Ben, mm-hmm. and then a 2-minute minor against Pavelski.
Mm-hmm.
Back to back. And I'm pretty sure most of those 18 goals were probably during that 6-minute period.
You said most of those 18 shots are...
I'm sure a good portion of them, because, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, watching the game last night, it seemed like Dallas was, you know, in Montreal's offensive zone a lot more than Montreal was in Dallas's offensive zone. And the proof is in the pudding with 33 shots versus 18 shots. So,
yes.
You know, yeah. And they held him off on that 4-minute major just to get scored on in that 2-minute minor. And I understand, you know, you didn't, you know, maybe coming out of that major and stopping them and holding them from getting a goal, it might have invigorated them and gotten them going, but that never happened because right as soon as Ben's was over, I mean, Pavelski was right back in the penalty box, and we're back on the penalty kill.
And they're going to have to watch out with that against Colorado, because Colorado's a whole different animal.
Yeah, and if you look at that first Colorado game, each team had 4 power plays. Man, we can't do that. You cannot give up 4 power. Yes, granted, I understand. They only scored on 1 and we scored on 1, but still, you cannot give up that many power plays against a dangerous team like that.
You know what? 1 for 4 for each tells me that's a pretty disciplined game, because that's a rivalry right there.
Yeah.
Only 4 penalties were called on each.
Yeah.
That means they were
a total of 8 penalties in the game.
That's not bad. Like, to me, that seems par for the course and very disciplined hockey. Like, because if one gets going over the other, man, you don't know what's going to come, especially with the Stars. Like, I've seen them commit some very stupid penalties just trying to keep up with somebody.
Well, last night, Ben's 4-minute major was kind of a stupid penalty. I mean, he lifted his stick up and it just got underneath the visor of the Montreal player and hit him right in the eye. I mean, it's just one of those things where, yeah, I understand he's over there fighting for his position on the puck and everything, but You know, that's where you've got to really make sure you maintain control of that stick.
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
Try not to get it up to the level of hitting someone in the face or something like that. Because even worst case scenario, you know, anytime you lift that stick up, if it hits somebody, you know, you're at least looking at a 2-minute minor.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
and if there's damage, it's going to be a 4 or a major.
Right.
That's usually how that works. So, yeah. I mean, maybe that's one key to success against the Avalanche. Maybe you just limit the stupid penalties. Play better defense, for one.
Definitely play better defense. And I think put that young goalie in there. Let him take a shot at the Avalanche. I mean, honestly and truly, if he's a young goalie that you're planning on eventually bringing up, he's got to get some time against teams like Colorado, especially as many times as we play them in a season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, why wouldn't you want to give him some of that, some taste of that?
Here's something that bugs me, too, to your point. Whenever a team is just not going to make the playoffs, why do they wait till the end of the season to start bringing people up?
I know, that makes absolutely no sense, doesn't it?
Especially if you're in the goaltending situation like the Stars are. You know, Ottinger, don't know when he's coming back. Looks like he's coming back soon because he's in practice, whatever. Okay, that's a moot point. We don't know, and we probably won't know until they want us to know.
Right, yeah. It'll be a game time decision. That'll be a thing where it'll be like, oh, and Jake Ottinger's back. You know, we might not even find out until the announcer announces it at the game. And look who's back in net, Jake Ottinger. You know, holy smokes. Nobody knew.
And I hate that about it. Like, it's good. It's smart. But at the same time, man, it sucks because, you know, for the podcast people, we're going, well, what about Wedgwood?
Yeah.
What about Matt Murray? What about Wedgwood? The Texas Stars are doing fine. They got Poirier. Poirier is doing his thing down there. Heck, we have 3 people somewhere at the top or around the top of the AHL scoring too, and we're fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, yep, we're in
really good. They lost the other night, but you know, sort of the Dallas Stars, so go figure on that. But they've been doing phenomenal down there as well.
There you go. Like, if you got Matt Murray in limbo right now, which he is because Wedgwood and Ottinger, why wouldn't you play him soon enough?
You know, it's kind of like the flip of the coin on that. You know, you're talking about when teams are out of the playoffs, why not play these guys, or why wait till then to bring them up? So the flip of the coin of that is, case in point, NFL teams. You don't see this so much in hockey, but in the NFL you see it. You know, let's say you know your position, you know you're going to be in the playoffs, i.e., like, I'll use San Francisco right now. They've already locked down the number one seed, so they're coming into their final week, and then they're going to get a bye. I guarantee they're going to sit most of their starters for this mm-hmm. game, and I disagree with that because I don't care what kind of veteran you are, unless you're one of these Superman type, like Steve McNair was, where he could go all week without practicing, come in and still maintain that speed of the game.
You know, McNair, oh man.
I mean, those are rarities. Those are rarities. And right. You're not going to get that game speed in practice. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. And how many times, I don't know how many times, I have seen number one seeds lose their first game because all their players have been rested or sitting around. They're not doing much. They're doing walkthroughs in practice because we don't want to injure them. Are you kidding mm-hmm. me? No, this is a point in time in the season where you want your veterans and stuff and your guys that are your playmakers out there making plays, and you want them to keep that game speed. Now,
mm-hmm.
maybe you don't target them as much for your wide receivers and things of that nature, but, you know, you cannot sit there and, you know, let your quarterback sit, because quarterbacks can get cold real quick. It don't take very long for a quarterback to lose his rhythm. And that right. whole thing, it's rhythm. And once you get that rhythm going, and the same thing in the NHL, when you have these lineups and these lines and they get a rhythm going, you don't want to interrupt that rhythm.
Right.
And so, yeah, if you're at the halfway point in the season and it's just not working, if it were me and I were the owner of an NHL club or the general manager or something, you're damn right. I would be bringing guys up left and right. And you know what? Not just because I want to see what they could do, but I would show these veterans. You know, let's go back to 1980 and, you know, Herb Brooks. He's building this team to go against the Russians. Now, he wants this team to be a family. And when he was building that team, he was building it for a specific purpose. He did not want the best players. He didn't want, because this guy led the nation in scoring, you know, because back then it wasn't professional players with these national teams. It was collegiate players for the U.S. Whereas other countries, these were like Russia and Ukraine and things of that nature. These countries, that's all they did. They were in the military and they played the sports for that country. And the Russian team, they were in the military because they have required military service, and they played for the Russian national team. Played for the Russian national team as a team for over 10, 15 years. So when he was building this team for USA, he had a little over a year to get these guys to be a family. So in order to show these guys that, look, because this happened to Herb Brooks, you know, he made the Olympic team back in 60 and got cut in the final, right before they went to the Olympics, because they brought somebody else in. So when he was building this team, he would bring players in from his team, from the Minnesota Gophers, who, if I'm not mistaken, I have to go look back in my history, but I believe they had just won the national championship in hockey that season. So he was bringing his players that he had been coaching in, not because he was going to give them a position. And honest and truly, I don't think that his reasoning for that was, I want to see if this guy's going to fit in here. Because he knew that he had his team, but he wanted his team to know that, yeah, okay, You may be doing whatever today, but tomorrow you can be gone, because I'm going to put the best five out on that ice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, and it ain't going to be the best five scorers or whatever. It's going to be the best five cohesive team, because he knew that was what you needed to win international hockey at that point in time. It's a whole different game than it is now.
Mm-hmm. True.
Different rules, different players. So, yeah, if I were the GM or head coach, and we were at the, say, halfway point, you're darn right, I would definitely bring some of these young guys up that are hungry from the minors and just, you know, number one, let them get a taste of what the NHL is, because, granted, the speed in the minors is going to be faster than the speed in collegiate or, you know, international play, just like the speed in the NHL is going to be different than from the speed in the, you know, in the minors, in the AHL and things of that nature. So, yeah, bring your young guys up. Give them that opportunity and tell these veterans, hey, you're expendable. You know, if you're not out there producing for me, I'll sit you on the bench and you can just sit and ride it.
See, here's the thing, again, to your point. They do that sort of thing in baseball.
Yeah.
And what if somebody is getting tired, like Wedgwood? You know, why wouldn't you put somebody in that position, give the guy a rest? The team's not doing all that bad. What's it going to hurt?
You know, I wish more leagues would take keys from the way that Major League Baseball does with their developmental programs, because they've been doing it right for decades. And they have produced some of the most top stars because of the way that they handle their minor league and how they bring them up during the season and things of that nature. And, you know, and the way it builds those players. And I don't understand why the NHL, which is kind of structured the same way, sort of, as the Major League Baseball, as far as having minor league teams and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand why they don't incorporate more of that, like Major League Baseball. To your point, I mean, you're 100% correct, and they've been doing it right for, like I said, for decades.
I don't know, but I'm just gonna harp on this. I'm worried for Wedgwood. 18 shots.
If they keep pushing this poor young man, I mean, he's not Ottinger. Granted, when Ottinger is healthy, he can go 15, 20 games straight, no problem. Unfortunately, at the beginning of the season, I'm telling you, I know he had surgery during the offseason. I don't think that surgery was fully healed. And I don't think he was in full, I don't think he was the Otter that we were expecting at the beginning of the season. And I think that they should have rested him a little bit more, given him some opportunity to give that surgery and whatnot a chance to heal. And that's why we are where we are right now. So, and we're going to do the same thing to Wedgwood. Honest and truly, this coaching staff needs to take a step back and say, look, what are we more concerned with, wins and losses or the health and welfare of our players? You know, the NFL has – I disagree with a lot of the things that their officiating has done, but one thing I will definitely agree with is their protocols and what they're doing to make sure these young men are healthy before they just get thrust back in there. Case in point with my quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Yeah, it sucked. It sucked as a Texans fan. You want C.J. Stroud out there. And when it's just, in your opinion, it's just a concussion. I mean, how bad is a concussion? Well, they can be pretty damn bad. And I applaud the NFL, their medical staff and whatnot, the Texans and their medical staff for holding C.J. Stroud out for two games, give him an opportunity to fully, you know, heal himself and his, you know, head and whatnot, as opposed to had this been back in the, you know, 80s or 90s, oh, he'd have been out there the next week.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have even worried about, you know, oh, I have headaches, coach. Okay, we'll take some Tylenol. You'll be fine.
Yeah, like that Peyton Manning commercial. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah. So, man. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think this can go either one of two ways. Honest and truly, I think if they put Wedgwood in, I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, I could see I know this is going to sound bad, but I mean, I could see an 8-0 route by Colorado. Whereas, I think if you put Matt Murray in, I think we might have an opportunity to it being a 4-3 Stars win.
Isn't that funny, too? How one slight adjustment here or there can change the whole freaking game.
It sure can. You know,
I'm not
against Wedgwood at all. I think if Wedgwood were, you know, coming in, healthy, not tired, not being the one that they're leaning on as much, I think he could stand up to you know, if it were Ottinger, you give Ottinger the rest and let Wedgwood come in, I think you'd stand a chance of winning 4-3. So this is not a knock against Wedgwood. This is just saying that I believe Wedgwood needs a break, and this is a perfect opportunity to just give him a break.
I'm right there with you. I mean, it is Colorado, and given what they did to us the last time they played, 6-3, after we had a 3-0 lead, I'm going to tell you this. My faith in that game is already absolutely non-existent. Because, to me, that says no matter who's in net, if they're just done, they're done.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to play. You know? And I don't want to see that happen to an already tired Wedgwood, because I don't know what that would do to his confidence.
I agree. Well, on that note, unfortunately, I am going to have to get a running. But
yeah, same here.
I guess we'll find out. Let's see what the coaching staff does, and maybe Andre will be back here in the next couple weeks. But I think for tomorrow night against the Avalanche, I think they need to, you know, put their egos in check, put their egos away, and not worry about win or loss. Give Wedgwood a break. Let Matt Murray go in there and, you know what, cut loose some of our young guys to go out there and do some interesting things. I'd love to see, you know, Wyatt Johnson really come out against – I would love to see him come out against the Avalanche and get two or three scores. You know, we had back-to-back games against Chicago where, you know, two of our – you know, we had hat tricks in both of those games. Wouldn't it be amazing to get a hat trick against the Avalanche?
That would be something that I don't think they've seen this season. Maybe they have, but I don't remember that ever being mentioned.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will. Predictions for the score, though. I say after Montreal 4-3, since I was right about that one. God, I'm sorry, guys. I'll say 4-3 Stars this time.
I'm sticking with what I said. Depends on who's in net. I think if Wedgwood's in net, it's a rout. I think if they put Matt Murray in, I'm going to go with a 4-3 Stars win.
That's a solid point. I'm going to agree with you then. Wedgwood's not looking good, but we'll see. I mean, it's a roll of the dice either way. So sure. I'll be there.
And I will be too. So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes.
Yes, what's sir. Up? Hey man, I want to thank you for your time before you go.
Oh yeah, definitely. We'll do it again next week.
All right, man. Well, BS3 Network, that's it for us. Thank you for listening. Yep. And go Stars.
Go Stars.